this morning going, it's Monday and I hate it, damn it. But I'm going to get it done.
True story.
Somebody right now is bobbing their head a little too hard. The boss is watching you. Cut it out. You can do it.
You can do it.
Ah. Good morning. Good morning. Oh, good morning, everybody. We got a string of good mornings. Good morning to our ever-faithful Joe Hill and all the new people with us over the weekend. Hello to you, good people.
Yeah, I know, man. Our numbers just, like, totally just took off over the weekend. I was like, holy crap.
We're following you back. Like,
we
right
are.
Now. Like, right now.
Totally. Totally are.
Oh, my gosh. It's been a hell of a weekend. How was your weekend, Ginger?
It was long. It was long, long weekend.
Okay. Let me shut this off. First, I have to say I read some news at around 4:35 approximately this morning that disturbed me, and I'm going to have to unfollow Tyra Banks.
Uh-oh, what happened there?
She fired Nigel and Mr. and Ms. J. And I got to tell you, I love Top Model, but part of the reason I watch is to see Nigel. And girls out there, if you've not seen Nigel Barker, go look him up. You'll see why. I wait to the end of the show just to see this man. They all have that fight. He's gorgeous. Gorgeous. Even his wife is pretty. If I like girls, I just be like, oh, that's perfect. But look, she fired them both. I have no reason to watch the show anymore. I mean, Tyra, I like you and everything, but look.
Oh,
you know.
No.
You were the inspiration behind Pixanista. It's a sad, cloudy day. Okay, that has nothing to do with gaming. Anyway, let me throw gaming. Let me throw some gaming in there. It's almost as bad as a Top Model game.
Top Model the game?
Yeah, you came on probably a month or two after we got copies of that game, and I got to tell you, that is ranking on my list of one of the most horrible games I have ever played in life. And
wow.
For me not to like a game, you got to be pretty bad. I don't know what went wrong. Well, I can tell you all that is wrong with it. None of the people from the show are in it. None of them. Not even people from other top models, you know, top models in, you know, over how many 52 countries.
Yeah.
So not even any of the model, nobody from any of the top models. And it's, they missed the boat. They really should have. The top model people should have handed this to Maxis, the people who did The Sims. This is one time when you should have gone to them and said, we need you to take this and fit it into a simulator aspect. And here's these, you know, here's our characters from the main show and, you know, work it. And they didn't. And I don't know if the people didn't have license to use their likeness. I don't know what happened. But there was nothing about that game that was redeemable. Not even the clothes. The digital clothes were bad.
Were the clothes bad?
The digital clothes were bad. Horrible.
And you see, that is never, ever a good thing. Ever. A good thing.
Tis a shame. Anyway, so now I'm going to have to cut ties. I'm sorry, Tyra.
Oh, no, she done cut those ties. You are in trouble, Tyra.
She'll be all right. Hold it in, Tyra. Walk away. Hold it in. Hold it in. Hold the innards in. She'll be all right.
Oh, no.
We do have news. I just had to throw that out there because I haven't been to sleep. Y'all know
that is no good.
Y'all know I don't sleep. I have no use for sleep. It's too much downtime.
Not good.
Ginger.
I'm sorry. I'm over here fighting with Blog Talk. It didn't want to let me in.
Why are you trying to get in?
Because I wanted to tweet the show.
Oh, it does this to me, so Ginger.
I know, but it kept telling me, this is not your password. I wiped my drive this weekend, so I'm having to remember all my passwords, and I take after Corey. I have about 20.
That you put in rotation along with some numbers and switch them around, and sometimes you put the letter out. And yeah.
Yes. So, it was a little bit of fun trying to find which one that I put it under.
Well, I took apart Frankenstein, and I will be tweeting a picture after the show so you all can see what Frankenstein really looks bad now. And Frankenstein is a girl, and that's my PC. Frankenstein's innards are laying out on the side of the floor. But she's working. So I had to pull out the power supply and everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She works. She's better now.
That's awesome.
At least
she works.
I think she works. We'll find out here in a second because it just may shut off. If we're gone all of a sudden, you know what happened. Frankenstein was like, you beep, 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 beep.
Well, mine was, all right, so we got into the whole Ghost Recon Online beta, right?
That's right. Over the weekend, you should have been
And I wanted to play. I fucking wanted to play. I wanted to play.
My bad.
But somehow, Microsoft Framework 3.1 was not being recognized, and they have to have that. I tried to uninstall it and reinstall it. No such luck. So I had to wipe my entire hard drive. And worse yet, I saved all of my photos, because you know I take photos all the time, onto a disk. And now we'll not open that disk.
That is hurtful.
That is very hurtful. I may very well cry over it.
I'm sorry. Girl, we need to hold a tap session for you.
I know. I was like, no. Because, like, it'll open and I can see them there. But then I try to open up the file and it quits. It tells me Windows Explorer has failed to continue working or something. I don't remember. Every time I'm like, no, they're there. Let me have them. Just a couple of them. My shoes were on there, man.
Oh, that's horrible. I'm sorry. I'm real sorry about that. You know I'm sorry. that is hurtful. Oh, man.
Very, very, very hurtful. I got to start that crap over from scratch.
No, you don't. But I'll tell you. May I? I got some charts for the people.
You go right on ahead.
Ah, crap. all right. So, you know, we do the charts every Monday. So if you want to know what everybody's playing, you listen every Monday. Charts are presented by our lovely friends over at, whose name I forgot. Oh, Yuki. Sorry, Yuki. So what are you all playing this weekend that you all did not invite us to? Number 10, SSX. I don't know why. I don't know why. Wait a minute. That's not number 10. I'm sorry. Call of Duty is number 10. SSX is actually number 11. Okay. Then you have, next on the list, Mario and Sonic London 2012 Olympic Games, which I imagine is going to stay in the top 10 the whole time the Olympic Games are going on this year. You also have number 8, Skyrim. Yes, some of you are still playing Skyrim, as am I when I get a chance. Number 7, Battlefield 3. Anyway. Number 6, Tiger Woods PGA Tour 13. Number 5, Mass Effect 3. Number 4, Kinect Star Wars. Uh-oh, here she comes. Number 4. Say it again, Ginger.
Number 4.
Kinect Star Wars. You know, the commercials for that look really good, but I am not fooled. Number 3. FIFA 12. Number 2, of course.
Because 2 is so much better than 1.
Yeah, that's right. Because, obviously, if number 3 is FIFA 12, number 2 has to be FIFA Street because they just go together like ram-a-lam-a-lam-a dippity ding dong. Yes, I had to do it.
Peanut
okay.
butter and jelly, but only the grape jelly.
Only the grape jelly. Does anybody make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches without grape jelly? That's just nasty. Anyway. Okay, and number 1, The
number
Witcher.
Number 1.
Number 1, The Witcher 2 Assassins. The enhanced.
Yay! Edition. Seems like everybody's playing that.
Except us. Maybe we'll get around to it eventually.
Yeah, eventually. All right, so I've got. This one is a short one, so I'm going to end up grabbing 2.
Do it.
Saudi Boy 4 kills father over PlayStation.
Oh, come on.
4-year-old. All right, so an angry 4-year-old Saudi boy shot and killed his father for refusing to buy him a PlayStation.
Really? Does that get you a PlayStation, boy? Do you get it now?
I know. The Ashark Daily citing police in the southern Jizan area said the child, aged 4 years and 7 months, grabbed his father's pistol and shot him in the head. According to the newspaper, the child had asked his father to buy him a PlayStation, and the shooting took place after the man returned home without the desired object. As he was undressing, the man put the weapon down, which the child then grabbed and fired at him from close range.
Mm-hmm.
All right, a couple of things here. I understand this is Saudi and y'all do things differently. Why in the hell would you put a gun anywhere where a kid can get a hold of it?
Right.
And 2, yo, what the hell is wrong with your parenting that your kid would even
think to pick up a gun?
Yes.
be thinking it's okay to pick up a gun, not be afraid of the gun, not be told this can kill and daddy will never come back. It's not a game.
Yes, yes, totally true, totally true. I mean, I understand things are different over there. Things are very different over there, but wow, still 4.5 years old. That's disgusting. All right, so my second one, I'm not quite for sure what to think about this one. I guess we will see whether or not it actually happens.
Wait a second.
What?
He's four?
He's four.
How do they know it was about a PlayStation? How do they know he just wasn't four and picked up a gun and said, oh, pretty, and, you know, pulled the trigger?
There's that. There's that. That could very well be.
I love how they just throw gaming in there. What? Yeah.
You didn't buy him a PlayStation.
How do they know?
Years old. Kids throw a fit over you not buying him a piece of candy at 4 years old.
Hell, he probably wouldn't even remember. At 4 years old, they barely remember where their toes are. How would he remember?
Exactly.
You came, I told you this morning, Daddy, you better bring me home a PlayStation or I'm going to shoot you. No, I'm going to need proof of that. I'm going to need some video or the kids saying, yes, I killed him for PlayStation. I'm sorry. I'm not. That doesn't sound right. At four, maybe at 8, 9, 10, in those age range, because they start to remember stuff. When you say, you know, hey, I'm going to take you to McDonald's after school, they come home. I'm going to McDonald's after school, right? Yeah. At four, you're like, remember what mommy told you this morning? What? Oh, pretty butterfly. No, I don't think so. Unless the kid was a genius, in which case, you know what will be happening to him.
Yeah.
All right, I'm sorry, Ginger. Go.
One. It is slightly a rumor, slightly possibly very true, kind of scary. Hundreds of thousands made the internet in July. Are we ready for this, people?
I don't like that. That's not funny.
And I am pulling this from the Yahoo business section, actually. For computer users, a few mouse clicks could mean the difference between staying online and losing internet connection this summer. Unknown to most of them, their problem began when international hackers ran an online advertising scam to take control of infected computers around the world. In a highly unusual response, the FBI set up a safety net months ago using government computers to prevent internet disruptions for those infected users. But that system is to be shut down. Oh, yeah, the FBI is abandoning us. Oh, no. Right. The FBI is encouraging users to visit a website run by its security partner, which the website is www.bcwg.org, that will inform them whether they are infected and explain how to fix the problem. After July 9th, infected users won't be able to connect to the internet. And apparently, most victims don't even know that their computers have been infected. Yeah. So last November, the FBI and other authorities were preparing to take down a hacker ring that had been running an internet ad scam on a massive network of infected computers. Tom Grasso, an FBI supervisory special agent, says, we started to realize we might have a little problem on our hands because if we just pull the plug on their criminal infrastructure and threw everybody in jail, the victims of this were going to be without internet service. The average user would open up Internet Explorer and get a page not found and then think the internet is broken. Yes, people, the internet is never broken, just the people who use it, okay? So, what exactly happened? Hackers infected a network of probably more than 570,000 computers worldwide.
Yay.
They took advantage of vulnerabilities and access Windows operating system to install malicious software on the victims' computers. This turned off antivirus updates and changed the way the computers reconcile website addresses between the scenes on the internet's domain name system.
Yay.
Yeah. All right. So the hackers earned profits from advertisements that appeared on websites that victims were tricked into visiting. The scam netted the hackers at least $14 million, according to the FBI.
Ooh.
That is nuts. They say the number of victims is hard to pinpoint, but the FBI believes that on the day of the arrest, at least 568,000 unique internet addresses were using the rogue servers. 5 months later, the FBI estimates that the number is down to at least 360,000. The U.S. has the most, about 85,000. Other countries with more than 2,000 or 20,000 each include Italy, India, England, and Germany. It looks like Spain, France, Canada, China, and Mexico are also all caught up in this. So, yeah, again, you should check your computer. Go head over to ccwg.org. D as in Dan, C as in Cat, W as in Washington, G as in George.org. So.
Ginger, we blame you.
I know. It was all on midget porn. I can't help it. I'm
I know.
Sorry.
You need to stop. You stop unleashing the midget porn out to the world.
So good.
Really?
Yeah.
Bad Ginger. All right. Independent game studio Atradux Entertainment announces its new project called Legends of Eisenwald. Yeah. They're a role-playing game with elements of strategy and turn-based tactical battles. The game can be described as a knight-errant simulator. A hero with his squad, her squad, travels on a global map, conquers castles, receives tribute from villages, and upgrades and gathers troops. As for battles, the creators of the
game play girls.
Yeah, of course, no girls play games. As for battles,
thing I'm mad about GRO.
Oh God! Creators of the game decided to solve what they perceived to be the main problem of turn-based battles: a lack of dynamics and slowness. For that reason, they discarded empty movements without strikes. As a result, a player faces a choice whom to attack at every move. According to the developers, it makes a battle intense from beginning to end, since the battle outcome can depend on one strike. I'm sorry, I like the missed strikes. That's one of the things I loved about Gladius, the animations. You know, whenever you'd miss hitting somebody, sometimes they'd fall and they'd stay down. So you could have gotten a little creative on another side instead of removing it. When units receive enough experience, they upgrade to another level, changing their class and appearance. A simple militia man can become either a heavy infantryman or a pikeman who is more suited for defense. Besides, a player can upgrade his squad with armor and weapons. Each kind of weapon has a unique bonus that is advantageous in certain situations. Yeah. Right now, the developers only have an alpha version of the game available. That's right, people. This is a Kickstarter project. The release of the game is planned for the autumn of this year. If you would like to support them, I will give you a link to their Kickstarter. We don't begrudge anybody any money. Go check it out. Maybe you want to help them out. Tweet, 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 tweet. Tweet, 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 tweet. So bye.
Tweet.
Tweet, 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 tweet. So, I don't know. I don't know if that interests me. I'm still upset. Y'all know I'm still upset about my whole Gladius situation.
You are. You are totally upset over that.
I will never forget you, Microsoft. Here, you know what? I had an interesting thought. Okay, so this weekend, I pulled out some of my old PC games. And when I say old, I'm talking 1997. One of them is called Rock Manager. And I pop it into one of the laptops here, the one that has the Windows 7, and it works just fine. I have to go in and my PC have to go in when it's XP and right-click things and tell it to run as 98, all this stuff. I didn't have to do any of that. So my question to you, Microsoft, is how come my PC running Windows 7 is backwards compatible with every PC game in existence, but my Xbox is not?
Huh, that's a very good question, and it's because they want more money.
It makes no sense to me. There's much more variables involved with a computer, peripherals and programs and antivirus. My Xbox is a closed system. Why?
Well, that's what happens when they get all sorts of... I was seeing double posts from your Twitter. This is what happens when they get all stingy and greedy and they want all your money.
They're not even being stingy and greedy, because there was Gladius, and there was another game I had just bought, and one of the Splinter Cells that I never, Double Agent, I think that for a while there that weren't backwards compatible. I didn't buy another copy of Double Agent. They eventually fixed it, but Gladius and this other game that was a new FPS. But it was really good, you know, not saying the other ones aren't, but it was really, really a good one, you know, variation, you know, never the same map twice type of thing. And they had just made it, and I think they had a horrible time recovering from when the new Xbox came out. Not completely not backwards compatible. They never fixed it. Any of my games, but Beyond Good and Evil, which I'm keeping, I really don't care if I can't play it. But the thing is, if I can put it in a laptop and play a game from 1997, why can I not put in a game that was just from the previous generation? It should work perfectly. Nintendo has this down, Microsoft. What's your problem?
Yes, totally. What is your problem, people?
What's your problem? I need to play my Gladius. I got to run. Finish! I'm sorry.
Y'all hear that voice? Do you see what you're making her do? Do you see?
Who's I'm good.
All right. So we talked about this a little bit last week, I think, or maybe it was the week before. I don't remember. All right, so GamePolitics.com this morning, Apple ProView in talks to settle iPad legal battle. According to GigaOM reports, Apple and Chinese company ProView Technology may soon resolve their ongoing legal battle over the use of the iPad name in the region. A report surfaced today that the two combatants have agreed to meet for negotiations outside of court to talk about possible solutions to the fight. In other words, ProView is all like, just open up your wallet and give me all your money. Analysts believe that a generous settlement from Apple will put the matter to bed with the company, but the company has been resistant to that idea because they claim that they already licensed the name from ProView's Taiwanese subsidiary. The last settlement offer put forward by ProView was $400 million. Yeah, see, people, I told you exactly. That's exactly what's going on. They're like, just open up your wallet, give me your money. ProView is in deep financial trouble with creditors looking to collect on the debt they owe as quickly as possible. This is exactly what's going on, see? The best thing the company could do at this point is to settle with Apple for a fee less than what they were looking for the last time they floated a number. Apple would do well to put the matter to bed, too, because it's losing money in the very profitable region. The latest high-definition iPad is not available in China yet because of the legal battle. Yeah, Apple's going to end up settling. They're just going to wait until ProView asks for a lesser number because ProView's just going to get, you know, they're going to be finally like, look, all right, this is just how much we need. We'll do it. Just give it, you know? And Corey is all quiet and muted.
I am, and just talking plenty of smack. And nobody could hear me.
Lovely. Aw, man.
It was good, too. I would repeat it, but it would ruin the whole period. I can't do it. I can't. All right. So just ahead of Google's Drive launch, Dropbox is making sharing easy with Stulix, according to VentureBeat. And some of you are probably like, what is Dropbox? I got to tell you, I just discovered Dropbox. I love it. I love it. Talking will be good. Okay, so Dropbox, if you are not familiar with it, is what they're calling a cloud storage powerhouse.
You know, we use the cloud for our thing, and now I'm a little iffy about the whole cloud service, you know?
Well, no, Dropbox is actually, I haven't had any problems out of it other than I forgot my login because, you know, I got too many passwords in my head. They've released a powerful new tool that lets you share files and folders using links. The company just announced this today. The cloud storage landscape, they're saying, is about to make a sharp turn with Google about to enter the space. So it makes sense for Dropbox to up its feature set before the Drive's launch. Dropbox recently redesigned its website and main interface, and I did get an update over the weekend on my Droid, so I was very excited. But with the new sharing feature, it becomes drastically more simple to share files and folders. Now, instead of having to share an entire folder from them to access your content, you can simply share a link so friends and family can see your content with less hassle. Anyone with the link gets access to a snazzy page where they can view but not edit your information, pictures, documents, so on and so forth. It says our gallery page gives your photos, videos, and even docs that gorgeous full browser view that they deserve. That is from John Yang, who's the Dropbox designer and community manager. He said this means that people who follow your link can see pictures, look at presentations, and watch home videos without having to download and open them separately. But just in case a friend wants to save that picture or PDF for later, they can choose to either download it or save it straight to their own Dropbox. Some of the most obvious use cases for the new feature will be the ability to share photos with family and friends or share your small business non-sensitive files with clients. San Francisco-based Dropbox has raised around $257 million in funding to date, with the majority of that coming from its massive $250 million round last October. And investors include some heavy hitters, Sequoia Capital, Accel Partners, Benchmark Capital, Goldman Sachs, I know you've heard of them, Greylock Partners, Institutional Venture Partners, RIT Capital Partners, Valiant Capital Partners, and Haiti and Ali Partovi. Now, let me tell you how awesome Dropbox is for me. For those of us who have a smartphone, but we don't have the $400 smartphone, you know, with the 2 gigs of space, and you take pictures all the time like we tend to do, and I tend to go out, I'll see things that pertain to gaming, and I love to take pictures. I haven't been doing it as of late, been a busy girl, but, like, I think I had put one up some years. Yes. I think I found, a broken GTA disc, like, alongside the street one day, and I was like, that is just art. I must take it. I must take a picture. So I have Dropbox, and right at that moment, my phone may be completely full, video, all that stuff. I log into my Dropbox and upload it, and my phone is clear, and I can take photos, and my photos and video that I had on my phone, safe, and I can even share them with Ginger, or with you on Twitter, or wherever I choose to do so. Hot, right?
Yay!
I don't gotta put them on Facebook.
This will make easy for us, at least when we, well, no, not really. I keep saying that when we go to events, but we, I keep telling these people here, the ginger and the snow and the Advent Esprit, yeah, is not easy. You can't, we can't talk to each other at events unless you're standing right next to them. Don't even try to call them. But it is a good idea. We can at least, you know, we can load up a bunch of crap to Dropbox and come back and just give you all kinds of stuff. Just everywhere.
Nom, nom, nom. All kinds of stuff.
Yay! And shake a wee motor. I had to say that through clenched teeth to make it all serious. Anyway.
Ah, you're hilarious, Corey.
So congratulations to the Dropbox people. I do love your, yes, your software.
Yes.
Love it.
Congratulations. All right, so High Court of Australia rules against Hollywood Studios in a major setback for rights holders doing business in Australia. The High Court of Australia has ruled that internet providers have no legal obligation to act on copyright infringement notices sent to them by rights holders. The court ruled that copyright infringement notices provide no reasonable basis for sending warning notices to individual customers containing threats to suspend or terminate those customers' accounts. Australia, usually I'm ragging on you, you got this one right. Yay! All right, so this is the third decision that movie studios have lost in the country related to copyright infringement. Hollywood studios, including Warner Brothers, Disney, and 20th Century Fox, were represented by AFACT in its action against Australian ISP iNet. Though this latest defeat in court could be viewed as a setback for rights holders, the group representing them, the Australian Federation Against Copyright Theft, AFACT, will now turn its attention to lawmakers for solutions. Now that we have taken this issue to the highest court in the land, it is time for government to act, says AFACT in a statement. We are confident the government will not want copyright infringement to go on unabated across Australian networks, especially with the rollout of the NBN, the fiber-based national broadband network. You know what, Hollywood? Just...
Oh, words you can't say during daytime.
Yeah. There are things I want you to do with sharp objects, and it involves you sitting and spinning. So, yeah. Way to go, Australia. Lawmakers in Australia, please don't bend to these fools.
Wow. Okay, how many people out there are still looking for a job?
Oh. Wait, no. Maybe.
What do you mean no?
Sure.
It's okay, Ginger. We allow moonlighting here. One of the few people that do. We allow. It's okay. You and I moonlight. Shoes, hello.
That's true.
Okay. Dark One says he's right to drop. I told him dirty Dropbox picks, or it didn't happen. And he says he burned them all. He was ashamed of them.
Shame.
Everybody knows your name. All right. So, anyways, I was going on to say, anybody looking for a job? Well, Peter Molyneux's hiring. Yes, the guy that made that Fable game. Yeah. So far, though, you may have to wait a while to get him to look at your resume because he's received 1,000 applications for positions at his new studio.
1,000?
1,000 for his new studio called 22 Cans. He spoke to Giant Bomb and GI.biz and detailed the positive response to the round of press interviews he conducted recently, most notably an enormous spike in the number of people applying for jobs. He says, that's pretty damn exciting. I'm quoting him. That's not us. He says, I'm working 16 hours a day just answering those emails. I said to myself, look, I put this thing out there. I've got to answer all these emails. I've also got to look at the Molly Jam entries, and I've got to use Twitter. Well, you know what, Peter? You need an assistant or two to sit on your knee and handle some of those emails for you. Ginger and
yes,
I are available if your knees are available, just saying. Because you're...
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
Vous êtes un bon homme, monsieur. Oh. Anyway, okay, so he said that's taking up a huge amount of time. It's fantastically amazing, incredibly exciting, though. Molyneux has also reiterated the scale of his responsibility at both Microsoft and Lionhead and the large number of meetings required to fulfill his duties at both. He says, I realized that 75% of my day was just doing nothing, basically. It was just doing meetings, and now doing everything from answering emails to doing press stuff to going and talking at universities and designing games, it just feels fantastic to be hands-on. It really does. You can be hands-on with
Wow.
I just putting that out there. There's not 1,000 of me waiting in line to be having hands on, just saying.
That's kind of hot. You should be talking.
He's a nice little good-looking older French guy, and he tried to get me liquored up once. So I had to explain to him that if he gave me the liquor, I was going to punch him in the face. But, hey, he tried. He had bad motives. But anyway.
I bet he did, too.
but still, I appreciate the thoughts. And
let's all right. I hate this game. I hate talking about this game.
Is it Angry Birds?
No, it's not. It's RuneScape.
Oh,
you know, it's right up there with Angry Birds. Actually, I think I hate Angry Birds more than I hate RuneScape.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. So RuneScape announces Mad May. Jagex reveals first details of a month of craziness, including competition, extra loyalty points, bonus XP, and additional Squill of Fortune spins.
I'm sorry.
It's funny. I was going to say something about what makes me squeal, but it's Sam. So, Jagex, makers of RuneScape, the world's most popular and multi-award-winning free-to-play massively multiplayer online adventure game, today announced their plans for Mad May, a month-long series of community events, offers, and competitions. Starting today, RuneScape players old and new will be able to benefit from a host of Mad May offers for everyone who remains a member throughout May. These promotions include additional bonus spins for the Squill of Fortune, the new lighthearted game of chance which was introduced to RuneScape last month, offering players even more chances to win from a wide variety of in-game prizes. As an additional bonus, all those players who remain a member for the whole of May will also receive 5,000 loyalty points to spend on numerous rewards, including a vast array of new costumes, titles of nobility, exclusive emotes, and perhaps most exciting of all, an arsenal of gameplay-enhancing auras. They say what's more, all eligible players will receive up to 250,000 bonus XP on the 1st of June. If the free spins, loyalty points, and XP weren't enough, the RuneScape team will also be hosting Wild Weekends throughout May. Full details of each Wild Weekend will be posted in advance on the RuneScape website. For more information about the game and to take advantage of RuneScape's May Madness, simply visit runescape.com and create your account today. Don't do it, okay?
Oh, be nice, Ginger. Just because they bother you doesn't mean they're not good.
I play. It's not good.
When's the last time you played?
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I don't like it. See all her incessant logicking. I don't know. No.
I have to logic you. You have to at least try things before you say you hate them, Ginger May.
And I am not trying baby eels.
Angry Birds.
No.
I refuse. And she's
exactly. The cat. No red drink.
Why? Ginger, just one little. You know what? I try. I keep trying. I'm going to keep trying, y'all. We're going to get her to play once. If she just play once, then you can walk away. You don't have to do it again. That's how you tell kids. If you just eat one bite, you won't have to do it again. I'll let you get it.
I'm falling for that.
What do you think is going to happen, Jen? Do you think you're going to get addicted?
No, I'm afraid I'm going to gouge my eyes out.
Well, not. Don't stop. All right, I got something that you'll like better. Ninja fishing.
Ninja fishing?
Yeah.
All right, that sounds kind of cool. What is ninja fishing?
Well, it's from a company called Game Knots, and they've announced their mega. Unfortunately, iOS hit ninja fishing. Now fit to set sail on all iOS devices, but no Droid. After doubling its content, a whole new world and new fish has launched. A universal update has been made available via the iTunes App Store, and it's free, F-R-E-E, free, for a limited time. Now iPad wielders can see the hefty ninja Otoro in full-screen mode as he sails through the tranquil seas and shores of Dinosaur Land. There, Otoro will encounter a colorful cast.
Dinosaur Land?
Dinosaur Land, you heard me. A colorful cast of 60 modern and prehistoric fish to make the best plate of sushi. This is a very out there concept. Earn gold with every fish slash to purchase better hooks, more drill fuel, and a fancier boat. 5 in total, including the flaming pumpkin boat, Viking ship, and even a time machine. Draw your rods and swords once more and fill that ever-growing ninja appetite that has already hit 4 million players worldwide. An even wider variety of sushi, more worlds, fish, and game modes are on the way to ninja fishing. The upcoming treasure hunt and
ninja fishing.
update coming soon. It looks to be hilarious. The screenshots look to be hilarious. I don't know if you'll like it. We'll get back to you on that. Maybe I'll try to download it. Like, I don't have a bunch of games. I got a bunch of stuff written I need to post is what I need to be doing before Ginger cuts me. Look, I'm blaming her. She's like,
yeah, blame me. Blame me. It's all my fault. All my fault.
Am I going to cut? Do I get to cut? Yeah, that's what that pause was for. Do I get to cut?
Don't cut me. Don't cut me.
Do I
get don't touch me.
Ooh. Oh, remind me to talk to you about. Oh, wait a minute. We're not embargoed. Guns of Icarus. I forgot. I can speak freely. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, tell me about it.
Well, we are in the midst of scheduling time. We're going back and forth.
Yay!
So just to let you guys know, we have been playing this up. We are going to be doing a walkthrough with developers of Guns of Icarus. So if you are interested in that game and want to hear all of the dirty details, make sure you're listening. We will announce it at the official date. Now you say, why should we listen to you? We can go read it anywhere. Ah, but here therein lies the Horcrux. You should listen to our old shows to find out why we use that word. Yes, it's from Harry Potter. Therein lies the Horcrux, is that we'll be doing it live. Live updates, live review, live walkthrough, and you can interact and ask us what you'd like for us to ask them. What would you like us to tell you about? Who else is doing that again? Cricket?
Nobody.
Cricket? Is there Cricket? I forgot I lost my Cricket. Let's try that again. And who else is doing that? Yeah, that would be nobody. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're listening.
Yes, yes. All right, what do we got? Facebook sued over in-game access.
Oh.
Yeah, a California mother is suing Facebook, claiming that the company is allowing minors to make purchases via in-game microtransactions.
Minors? Oh, did they not read their TOS? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And that allowing this to happen without parental consent violates California's consumer protection laws. Glennis Bohannon filed the lawsuit in California and is asking the court for a full refund on all the purchases made by her daughter without her consent. She also claims in her lawsuit that Facebook is not providing enough preventative measures to stop underage users from making purchases. She also wants refunds for all parents and legal guardians in the United States whose minor children made unauthorized purchases of Facebook credits for the minor child's Facebook accounts. Under Facebook's policies regarding purchases, children under the age of 18 are not allowed to buy items off the site without parental approval. We're guessing that Facebook may say that the policy does not extend to third-party apps. We would assume that giving your child access to a credit card is considered a form of consent in some legal circles. But who knows for sure? They say details on what specific Facebook apps the plaintiff is talking about was not disclosed. Yeah, they say we will have more on the story as it becomes available. Your kid took the credit card and spent money, so you're going to sue Facebook for your bad parenting.
Well, no, they put the credit card in the Facebook, and again, what age is this minor? Because if they're under the age of 13, they shouldn't even have a Facebook or be on it in the first place, and that's why Facebook is going to walk on this one. Sorry. Yeah. I agree they don't have preventative measures, but some of you out there, again, this goes back to be a parent. Stop leaving your kids in front of the computer or the Xbox thinking that that's supposed to be the babysitter.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was writing a T-shirt.
That's fine.
Sorry. We have a summer line coming. I got to own it. Okay, because I yelled at somebody. Like, oh, you do T-shirt. When are you going to make some T-shirts? They didn't say it like that. I just imagine that's how they spoke because you can't hear them. It was an email, though. All right. Well, we have been begging for it. Not that dirty, people.
Exactly. What are we begging for?
We've been begging for an alternative to Comcast and Time Warner. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, my God, yes.
Well, earlier this year, we were telling
you. Can we last night? I was hot.
Earlier this year, we were telling you about a story up on our friend's website over at VentureBeat about a company called Arrow, a New York startup that offers customers the ability to watch network TV, the free stuff that you get over your rabbit ears. We don't really have rabbit ears anymore, but you know what we're talking about. Right over the airwaves on any internet-connected device. They are now embroiled, of course, in a big court battle with big TV networks. Another Silicon Alley startup, NetTV, is next stepping into the arena. They've announced that they're bringing their customers TV on any internet-connected device, but the pitch is a little bit different than Arrow. Nimble is much closer to TV Anywhere, the service from the cable companies, which never really took off, that allows users to get their favorite program on any internet-connected device at any time, so long as they can prove they are paying cable customers. I don't think I like that. Individuals can start signing up for the private beta today, and it sounds like Nimble wants to avoid legal wrangling that Aereo embraced. They call Aereo, I'm sorry. It says our model is predicated on the belief that providers and content producers should be paid. Nimble TV is a solution that both consumer friendly and industry that is both consumer friendly and industry friendly. This is from the CEO Anand Subramanian. I'm sorry, dude.
Subramanian.
Yes, that's right, actually. Subramanian. Cool name. I think I'm going to name a character of that when I go back to COH. Subramanian. And it is unclear how they're going to integrate this in with existing cable plans. The TV Anywhere was put forth by Time Warner and Comcast 3 years ago. Has been bogged down with technical foul-ups and contractual hurdles, and Nimble seems to be aiming for that vacuum. Consumers are clearly moving to a time-shifted smartphone and tablet world where they want to watch what they like when they like. Where Nimble can succeed is where the big boys fail. Can they succeed where the big boys have failed is what remains to be seen. And I think we said it when we were talking about Aereo before. Their big mistake was not offering the companies themselves a chance to do advertising. We're going to broadcast your stuff, but you can – if you put advertising on it, you know, or maybe offer something website, there was 50 million ways it could have gone. And really, TV people, so I get it for free anyway.
This is very true.
Why are you angry? Why you don't want to work with us?
Why don't work?
Why don't work? Doesn't make any sense. Everybody always wants money.
Yes, and that is the main deal. Everybody wants their money.
Just as that particular mother we were talking about before needs to be smacked if she put her credit card information on Facebook. We agree. Too many parents do that. And she made it accessible for her kids. She's lucky that's all her kid did was access stuff on Facebook. Because you put your credit card number in, there's some kids I know that could have had some help. Me as a little girl, I'd had some Manolo Blahniks. I'd ordered a Ferrari. A driver to drive me around in it because I know I wasn't old enough to drive.
Mm-hmm.
There's... some of you out there, I'm going to start holding you know what? We need to talk about that after the show. That I'm going to keep quiet. You and I are going to do this, Ginger. I think we need to do this.
All right. Let's do it.
It's something we need to handle. All right, parents out there are making me sick.
Walking into two social exposure.
Fucking ninja.
Yes.
Fucking ninja.
In-games reveal more gameplay details for the upcoming Pocky Ninja sequel. The gate to the ninja's world has opened. Countless battles and conflicts are about to break out. Legendary figures have started to show their prowess. Who will be the chosen one and bring peace to this chaotic land? Launching this summer, Pocky Ninja 2 Social is an online Q-version social strategy developed by InGames, inspired by the storylines from the popular Naruto anime series. Players will be able to interact, build, and battle with iconic anime characters as they strive to create and dominate a new ninja world. Pocky Ninja 2 Social tasks players with creating and managing their very own ninja village. Oh, I gotta play. Starting as the founder and leader of a community of ninjas.
Ninja village?
Yes.
Oh, I like.
Mm-hmm. Players can build their village from scratch, developing a strong economy and recruiting other ninjas to act as the village's offensive and defensive army. Pocky Ninja 2 Social is set to bring new and innovative gameplay to the social network scene, with game modes such as Invasion, Rescue, and Support among friends offering a variety of ways to enjoy the graphically lush setting. Drawing inspiration from the popular and diverse world of Naruto, the game will feature 3D environments modeled directly from the anime series, offering Naruto fans new and unique ways to interact with the 5 great shinobi nations. As a tactical strategy game, Pocky Ninja 2 Social utilizes an intelligent battle system with an interesting twist. Brute force is no guarantee of victory here. Instead, players must recruit and command a balanced array of ninjas, with the chosen combinations of the Naruto-inspired characters having a direct effect on the outcome of combat. Forget about going all out on the offensive. Ensuring an army fulfills each member's mutual dependencies is the real cornerstone to success here. All right, so they say at launch, players will encounter and have the chance to recruit from a selection of four recognizable Naruto characters, from Sasuke and Kakashi to Rock Lee and more. All right, so it looks like this is coming to Facebook sometime this summer. If you want to sign up for and play Pocky Ninja for free, you can head over to PockyNinja.com. And if you want to see more about this, I have this up on GameMatrix.com this morning. Head over there, check it out.
Well,
What happened was...
You know what, you ain't right for getting me started on that. All right. Well, Deep Silver is deeply, deeply, deeply elated this morning, I am just guessing, because Deep Silver has received two important awards this week for its marketing campaign for, you guessed it, Dead Island.
Mm-hmm. Yay, zombies, nom, 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 nom.
Wait a minute. What am I doing? Oh, I had a moment. I'm sorry. You all tweeting me? Okay. All right. So,
I just had a small moment.
Okay. So, first of all, let me tell you about the award. Deep Silver has received two important awards this week for its marketing campaign for Dead Island, and they received this at the 7th Annual Game Marketing Awards. And also Access Animations was a part of that and received the award as well. This is the production company that's behind the trailer that won the Gold Award in the category for Outstanding Promotional Trailer. And if you haven't seen the trailer yet, you've been avoiding it, you should go watch it. That's one of those where you're like, oh, man, that is so good, teary-eyed, hurtful. I saw grown men crying. It was really a good trailer. Of course, it outshined any other promotional video for some well-known brands. The prize awarded at the Game Marketing Summit and awards by Proximax BDA, the International Association of Internet Marketing Professionals. At the MCV Awards 2012, Deep Silver was also awarded marketing for best use of social media for Dead Island. They're saying, we're really proud to receive the Gold Award in the promotional trailer category at the Games Marketing Awards because it was awarded by a jury of experts consisting of judges from well-respected companies in the industry, says Clements Kundratin, wow, some of you with the names, who's the CEO of Koch Media. He says, it's also great to get the appreciation for the work that we invested into our social media campaign for Dead Island. If social media is done right, it is a great opportunity to really interact with your fans and will, of course, give you a tremendous boost for your campaign. Dead Island has gathered a considerable following across all media all over the world since its announcement with a spectacular announcement trailer in February of last year. It doesn't seem like it was that long ago, does it? A trailer which surprised the masses everywhere and became an internet phenomenon. Again, if you have not seen this trailer for some odd reason, have you seen the trailer, Ginger?
I don't think I have.
Oh, you know what? You're watching this after the show, and I need to sit and listen to the reaction because it's going to hurt. I'm sorry.
It's going to be that bad?
It's not. It's going to hurt. Everybody who's ever watched it said, oh, God, that hurts. I've let not gamers watch it, and they go, oh, my God, that hurts. For a game to elicit that kind of emotion, they absolutely deserve this award. So congratulations to, I would call you our friends at Deep Silver, but you all are mean to us sometimes. You remember what they did to us? We want to send you some copies of Dead Island. Where's our copies? We don't know. What had happened was we had... And then they email us again. We got your copies ready, Dead Island. We're sending them out. Okay, what happened to our copies? See, when we were putting it in the box, there were some termites, and there was an incident with an elephant, and yes. So we have yet to receive our copies of Dead Island. We still love the game. It is an awesome game, as Jay is saying. You know what? Is it just me, or has Jay not spoken to us in weeks?
I think I just saw him post.
Yeah, he just did now. But I'm saying before that, is it just me, or has he not spoken to us in weeks?
I know. I don't know where he was. It's like he got new girlfriends or something.
You know what? I'm going to have to cut him. I have to come.
I know.
You know, it'll be a surface abrasion. I'm going to take some sandpaper to the back of your ankle. There you go.
Ooh, 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 that sounds painful.
Ooh, 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 that sounds painful. Yeah, Jay. Mm-hmm. For not speaking to us.
I don't know about this.
See, surface abrasions can be dangerous, too. Y'all thought it was a game. All right. Ginger, what you got?
What have I got? I've got... Gary of, ooh, I'm still just, ow.
I am the queen of torture, I am.
All right, I got a short one, so I'm probably going to grab two. Insane Zombie Carnage.
Ooh.
Yay. It has begun. The Earth is infected. There is no time. You got to save the world, and it's not going to be a stealth mission.
Go ahead, link it. I want in. Go ahead and link it.
Yep. Fight your way through endless hordes of undead, shoot 'em, burn 'em, blast 'em, beat 'em, kill 'em in dozens of different ways. And oh yes, die hundreds of times in the process. 3 different game modes, unlockable weapons, surprise boxes, and hours of edge-of-your-seat frantic action. Insane Zombie Carnage is one of those games that are simple in concept and yet are complex enough to provide countless hours of pure fun. Alright, so we've got a couple of things here. Addictive gameplay, don't eat, don't sleep, just kill zombies and monsters, collect boxes, unlock new levels, and nifty weaponry. 3 game modes, collect as much boxes as you can in normal mode to unlock time-ticking survival mode or become god of gore and brutal killing spree. Gritty hard rock soundtrack, loud pumping music that goes well with shotguns and bazookas.
See, I don't know. I think country and blues goes better with killing zombies. I'm sorry, maybe it's just a Left 4 Dead thing, but I think, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so this is... Microsoft is on Xbox Live PC, so check that out. It is called Insane Zombie Carnage.
That's actually not a bad price. I think I got 80 Microsoft points I need to get rid of before they abolish them. Why do they keep doing that? You know you're getting rid of them. Stop it.
I don't know. All right, so we got Legends of Eisenwald.
I already did that one, girl.
You already do that one?
That all right, really
yeah, I'm trying to get rid of them as you're doing them. Have we done the Big Builder?
No, we have not. Do it.
All right, Big Builder, $1.19. The guys who brought you the Rip Curl surfing game are set to release another cracking app called Big Builder. This 3D game is not another generic application. It's a fresh idea, which is simple and fun to play. The main aim of the game is to knock down and restack boxes full of colorful building materials in their original order before the forklift picks up your pallet stack. If you are skillful and smart enough to restack the boxes on the pallets in the right order, the boxes will reveal themselves to you. Building in the correct order will score more points for you than building in a random order. The more points you score on each build stage will unlock the next building stage in the Big Builder City and reveal pictures of the stage you just built. All right, so Big Builder City, start each level by throwing Big Luke's hammer at a stack of building boxes. Hit the target box, blows it up, giving you a bonus score and an advantage of having to stack your boxes. Remember, before you throw the hammer at the stack, make sure you memorize the color order of the stacks, as restacking them in the correct order gives you maximum points. Once you have built your stack, Big Luke will come along and pick up the pallets in his forklift and start building the house, skyscraper, or casino. All right, so I'm thinking this is for PC, and if you want to check this out, oh, no, it's an App Store thing, so it's an iPhone. It's called Big Builder. It's $1.19. Sounds fun to you. Over to check it out.
All right. So we were telling you about the Canadian Game Awards before we left for the weekend, and I got some winners for you over the weekend. Over the weekend, the Canadian Video Game Awards took place alongside the Fan Expo Vancouver event, and taking away top honors, FIFA 12. Also, Eidos Deus Ex Human Revolution was honored as Best Console Game, with Capybara Games' Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery EP was given awards for the Best Game on the Go, Best Downloadable, Best Indie, Best Original Music, and even Best Innovation Award was what they also won. Let me run down the list. This is quite a list. So, Best Game of the Year, FIFA 12. I have no idea why. I got to play this. Best console game, Deus Ex Human Revolution. Best game on the go, of course, we just told you, Super Brothers Sword Force EP. Best downloadable game, same, Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery EP. Best audio, Deus Ex Human Revolution. Best social casual game, you'll never guess, Margaritaville Online. Best game design, Deus Ex again. Best technology, Your Shape Fitness Evolved. I can see why. Your Shape is kind of awesome. Best visual arts, Assassin's Creed Revelations. Woo!
Yay!
Best writing, Deus Ex again. Best indie game, Super Brothers again. Best new character, Deus Ex again. I hope it wasn't that character we were talking about. You guys know the one. Best original music, Super Brothers Future Shop Gamers Awards goes to top-selling Canadian video game, which is NHL 12. An Innovation Award goes to Super Brothers yet again. Ah, they cleaned up.
It does sound like they did.
I gotta see what's up with the FIFA.
I don't know. I don't understand why all of you people are playing it. But
you know,
I do understand that you are all very addicted.
You know what it is that, okay, our American football is only played here, whereas the other football, which you all, we refer to as soccer here, but it's football, is played everywhere else in the world. We are the only country that doesn't have, like, a large following.
This is true. This is very true.
And I never realized this more than when I used to be a bartender at the airport, and I worked to Intercontinental International Airport. I can tell you that now because I'm not there anymore. But when I was there, it was a big deal. I remember them coming down to tell me, okay, we have these special mugs that we're selling. They're shaped like soccer balls, and you want to push them, put the beer in them, and blah, 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 blah. And people would come, and they'd crowd around because I was a satellite bar, and I'd have them just hundreds of them around me all watching the TV, and they're watching the World Cup, and I'd be like, my God, this is worse than the football, guys. You guys at American football think you're bad? No. You don't know. You're so crazy. You got people yelling in five or six different languages back and forth. They don't even speak the same language. You're stupid. Your team's stupid. You're stupid. It's stupid. And I'm like, oh, my God. They're throwing things. Put money in the cup. Put the money in the cup.
Wow.
Yeah, so they are way more hardcore than you guys can ever hope to be. I don't care about you painting your face and your colors. That is not hardcore. You need to see these people. They are not joking. They are not joking.
All right. It is my turn again, isn't it?
Yep. We got 2 minutes.
All right, White House to host Girls in STEM event tomorrow.
Oh.
The White House Council on Women and Girls will host a Girls in STEM Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics event tomorrow, April 24th, moderated by the EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson. The panelists will share their experiences and encourage young women to follow in their footsteps or blaze a trail of their own. The event will also include the first public screening of Girls in STEM, a video featuring girls who participated in the 2012 White House Science Fair. Panelists include Lisa Jackson, EPA Administrator, Dr. Katie Coleman, NASA Astronaut Colonel, U.S. Air Force retired Jocelyn Goldfein, Director of Engineering Facebook, Dr. Jean Hernandez, President, Edmonds Community College, and Bianca Bailey, President, Howard University Chapter of Engineers Without Borders. The event will take place Tuesday, April 24th, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it will be broadcast live online from the White House and on Facebook.
Whoa.
Students can submit questions at a form on whitehouse.gov and watch the live stream on whitehouse.gov/live, beginning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So head over there and check that out, people. That's going to be awesome.
You know, I had to play the song in the background.
I can't hear.
It's coming. All right, guys, you know where to find us, GamerGirlsRadio.com, GamerNatrix.com. We're at Blog Talk 24-7. You can find us on Twitter. We pretty much answer that 24-7, much as we try not to. And we will see you guys bright and early tomorrow. And, of course, later in the evening when we do Pixinista.
Yay!
Digital fashion for the win. See you guys later.
Later, boys and girls. Mwah!